All right, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians 1, Colossians chapter 1. I tell you, I wanted to take a few minutes this morning and interact with you. Thank you. I meant to pick those up, Miss Pat. You know I'm going to need those. proclaiming Christ and presenting disciples. I came across a news story around Christmas or right after Christmas, just after Christmas of the titles, and it was actually in CNN, it was in Washington Post, and all the networks and news articles. I saw it more than one time. You may have seen it, but it kind of captured me as I saw the headline. It says, "I had to do it to save everyone. Man breaks into school and shelters more than 20 people from blizzard." Did you guys hear this story? I want to interact with it this morning. I want to think about it, and I want to look at it from Colossians. I must have given you the wrong scriptures there. It's Colossians. Okay, you got the right one. Okay, that's fine. It's Colossians 1, verse 24 through 29. And it goes actually into chapter 2, but Colossians 1, 24 is where we're going to start. But this story, it goes on and it says that the deadly historic blizzard barreled through Erie County. You might remember around Buffalo last weekend. And many residents found themselves in a dire scenario, stranded in the howling snow with nowhere to go. Their cars dwindling in gas supply, with police unable to come to the rescue. There was this one guy named Jay Withy. He was a mechanic from this Cheektowaga, who had ventured out to a trapped friend. He actually went to rescue a friend. He went to rescue a friend, and his friend would later say, "You're the only person I know that would come out here to help me." We're going to talk about that in a second. But over the course of the night, his night began at 6 p.m. when he got a call from this friend who had been stuck from the mounting snow. He said, the friend says, "I'm the only person he knew that would come over, so I figured I would go get him." He said he drove toward his friend, weaving between abandoned vehicles that littered the road. Suddenly, he saw a young man named Mike walking in sneakers and wrapped in a light jacket. He told Mike to hop in the truck and escape the cold. As we interact this, I want you to think about these and put yourself as one of these three, one of the characters in the story. The different types of characters in this story, they're those people that are you're going to find out that are in their warm houses drinking coffee beside the fire. Then there's others that are trapped out in the snow, maybe not ever going to get home. They're it's going to become a very scary situation. They're going to fear for their life. And then there are others that are trying to help those that are trapped in the snow. So as we think about these, the first thing I think about is he's driving through these people, and he sees a man walking that's clearly in grave danger with the blizzard coming in, and he's got just a little small coat on, and he's got tennis sneakers. And so he picks him up. He says, "Mike, get in." Later name, we find out his name's Mike. He says, "Get in the truck." The guy jumps in his truck. He keeps on. He says that he drove past snowdrifts several feet tall. Withy said his truck became stuck twice. The first time he was able to shovel out of the snow. The second time he felt hopeless. So he becomes trapped. He says, "I'm trying to dig myself out," he said, "but the snow's pouring down faster than I can dig it out." He says, "I'm soaking wet, and I've got only a quarter tank of fuel left." And he started to grow very concerned. He says, I'm fearing for my life. Leaving Mike in the truck, he began knocking on doors. Now, here's where I want you to start thinking about this. He began knocking on doors of the houses lining the street to see if anyone could give him shelter. He said he knocked on 10 households, offering each $500 to spend the night on the floor. And he says all of them turned him away. He says, "I pled with them, please, please, can I sleep on the floor? I'm in fear for my life." And they said, "No, I'm sorry." What would you do? What would you do? What about, I can't help but think about church people. What would church people do when cold, hungry people need help? We'll come back to that. Feeling defeated, Withy tried to walk back to his truck, became lost in the blustery wind and thick snow. He says, "My vision was getting foggy, my body is cramping up, and I'm fearing for my life," he said. But he finally saw the light. We talk about seeing the light, don't we? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He saw that light in the distance, that same blinking light he remembered parking his truck next to. So he was able, through the snow and the blizzard, and to get back to where his truck was. He says, after marching back to the truck, this guy with him called the police, but told them, was told that due to the dangerous storm conditions, they couldn't come to rescue him. He said he also learned that the friend who had called him for help had been rescued by authorities. You know, I can't help but to think that there are times in our lives, things that we trust in and hold so dear, cell phones, police, even friends, they're not able to help us. This was a scary situation. It didn't seem to be that nothing could help them. With the gas running precariously low, Withy was concerned but tired, so he tried to take a nap. At around 11 p.m., he heard a knock at the door window and opened the door to find Mary, an elderly woman who said she had been stuck in her car since 4 p.m. and needed help. He told her to get in the truck, too. He says, I didn't leave until I made sure everyone was okay. Well, this was the heading right there. It says, by the next morning, Withy's truck had run out of gas, leaving the trio to huddle in Mary's van, which was also running low on fuel. Eventually, Mary needed to use the bathroom. It was then that Withy, sensing that she felt embarrassed, looked at his phone's GPS and noticed that a school, Edge Academy, was nearby, he said. He said, I say I'm going to that school, and I'm going to break in that school because I know that they have heat in the bathroom, he said. He said, remember he was a mechanic, so he took an extra set of brake pads. He went over, and he smashed through a window of the school so he could open the front door and let Mike and Mary in with the security alarm blaring. He says, I walk outside in the immediate area, and there are a lot of older people that are stranded in their cars. One person had a dog, and I get them all in the school. At this point, I got about 10 people in the school. He estimated their ages ranged between 20-year-olds to 70s, in the 20s to 70s. With the group settling the school, Withy scavenged for cereal and apples in the cafeteria, managed to turn off the alarm, and found mats in the gym for everyone to sleep on. And I like this right here. It says, everyone is just so happy to be in the school and to be warm and have food, he said. Where do we find our security and our safety and our contentment? We find it in Christ alone. As we just heard the song say, I cry out to Jesus. Jesus offers that hope. We looked for it in many different places and ways, but at the end of the day, we found lacking. We found still lost and confused. But these people would find safety to be warm and have food in this school. Jesus provides contentment and safety for us. On Christmas morning, Withy and others were able to find snowblowers from the janitor's closet and free their cars from the mounds of snow. He says, I had to do it. He says, I wanted to save everyone. So he describes himself as a religious man. Now here it gets kind of interesting. He describes himself as a religious man, and he said he views the whole ordeal as a blessing in disguise. Now here's where it's going to hit home for us. If just one person had taken him on this plea for shelter that night, he would have not saved all those and been able to save all those people. One man who turned him away saw Withy snow blowing the cars and approached him in tears to apologize, saying he couldn't sleep that night knowing he had denied Withy shelter. Withy stayed at the school until 8 p.m. on Christmas. He says, I didn't leave until I made sure everyone was okay, he said, adding that they started a group chat to stay in touch. Before he left, he made sure to leave a note apologizing for the break-in, which the police found when they were eventually able to respond to the alarm Withy set off when he entered the school. He left a note, and he says, to whomever it may concern, I'm terribly sorry about breaking the school window and for breaking in the kitchen. It read, got stuck at 8 p.m. Friday and slept in my truck with two strangers just trying not to die. It continued, there were seven elderly people also stuck out of fuel. I had to do it to save everyone and get them to shelter and food and bathroom. He signed the letter, Merry Christmas, Jay. And the police would later on find this man. And they said, we were absolutely shocked to see that he had over 20 people in the school and two dogs. Not only a heroic action, but just an overall good person. He definitely saved some lives that day, this policeman would say. I want to take us to Colossians, and I want to read the first verse here. It says, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he writes in verse 24, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. Paul right here says, I'm filling up Christ's sufferings for the sake of the body. Now, Christ fulfilled in this mystery. I mean, Jesus' sufferings was all that was necessary to provide salvation for sinners. But Paul's sufferings were necessary to proclaim salvation to sinners. This blessing in disguise that we see Jay and this man that would rescue many people would talk about. Think about all the people sitting warm in their heat around the fire, drinking their coffee, getting ready to open gifts, who were not help this gentleman that was fearing for his life and all the others that were stranded right outside. And just so you know the danger of this situation, 39 people would die in this blizzard. They would find many people in their cars frozen to death. So this was a serious situation. But this blessing in disguise would be that this man was not helped, and he in turn said, I'm going to help a lot of others, as many as I can. And he would, since he was able, he would break into the school and he would reach out and be used to help others. Paul says, I'm suffering for Christ. Not that Christ dying on the cross, his sacrifice was sufficient to save sinners, but he says, my sufferings are needed so that you can be saved. My sufferings are needed so that you can experience hope. This mystery that God came to not only Jews, to Gentiles, and that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to know of this hope. I want you to experience this salvation. Guys, you and I on 2023, I hope we can be so reminded of our purpose. And it's not to sit in the church to experience our coffee and our warmness and our comfortable nature and tell everybody we're okay and rejoice because we're okay. That's part of it. And there's safety and there's contentment and there's security in Christ. And we're to celebrate, we're to worship, and we're to sing to God be the glory. We're to sing these songs that Brother Ken just led us in about the hope of Christ. And I wish I had my bulletin here. I'd probably start singing if I saw him because I love these songs he led us in this morning. And these lyrics were so powerful. And we rejoice in our position in Christ. But guys, let me tell you, the Apostle Paul is sitting in a Roman prison for probably 2 years because he's sharing the gospel. His friend Epaphras would also share the gospel. Excuse me. Epaphras. It's pronounced either Epaphras or Epaphras. Also, Timothy's there. They're suffering because of they're sharing the good news. This guy was in danger because he wanted to try to save people. It's okay for you to risk your reputation or your livelihood or your well-being to go share the good news with people that are lost and stranded without hope, strung out on who knows what. Some know that they're needing hope. Some may not. I can't help but think about the many people sitting in their car that all of a sudden they ran out of gas, they dozed off, and they woke up in eternity. A lot of people like that are around us. They don't really know the grave danger they're in. Cars running, they're trying to bundle up. They don't understand what Jesus came to do. They could care less that he wants to be Lord of their life and give them purpose. And so they keep going their own way, and we know the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul would never be the same after experiencing Jesus on that road. He wanted to tell others. He lived to tell others. But you know what he did? He lived to share the Word of God, to make the Word of God fully known. If you look at verse 27 there, it says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now this was full revelation. This was a mystery through many, many years. The prophets didn't have details. They didn't know all the fullness of what God was going to do. But they were faithful with the message they were given. Now, as Jesus has stepped on the scene, now he's come to usher in the new covenant, we know now, looking back, that the gospel is for all. To the Jew first, but to all. The Gentiles could experience this Christ being in us, the hope of glory. These treasures in jars of clay was possible for all who would turn and repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says right here, to God, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now look at verse 28. This is kind of our mission statement. And I wanted to revisit at the beginning of this new year, this new era, this new beginning, just to remind us, Him we proclaim. Who? Christ. Jesus we preach. Jesus we proclaim. How do we do it? We warn everyone and teach everyone with all wisdom. This man going from car to car was checking on people. He was warning them. He was encouraging them. Hey, you need help. There's help right over here at this school. There's safety. There's mats to sleep on. There's warmth. There's even some apples and cereal that's stored up. You and I have a message to tell people. They're lost, and they need to know hope in Christ. They need to experience God's forgiveness and salvation, which will lead to their sanctification and their transformation. And so the message is, we proclaim Jesus, the hope of glory. He says we warn everyone. We teach everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So Paul's writing this letter to people he's never even met. Why? Because a man named Epaphras, who was saved under Paul's leading in probably the Ephesian church, has now become bold in his proclamation of the gospel because he wants to warn, he wants to teach, he wants to make disciples. He gets it. He wants to follow Jesus. So Epaphras, what is he doing? He's starting churches. He probably started this church in Colossae. It says that he's a bold, fervent prayer warrior for this church. It says that he's a fellow brother in the Lord. If you look at Colossians, I think it's, and I'm stepping out on a limb here, it's something 7, so it would probably be 3:7 or 2:7 or 4:7. We learn about him. Here it is. Tychicus will tell you all about my activity. He is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know him and encourage him. There's other people mentioned here, and these people are taking the Great Commission seriously. Guys, as we begin this year and as we conclude this last year and as we make it through this whole year, I want to encourage you that there are people stranded all around us. There was a big emphasis a while back with Southern Baptists, who's your one? And the goal was, if we can just possibly get one person sitting on the pew, to reach one person, we would double our church size and the people that know Christ. And that's so true. It's a worthy goal. A lot of us, if we were able to see and lead one person to the Lord this year, that was one more than we led to the Lord last year. But I'm not going to challenge you to think about who's your one. I want you to think about your scope of influence. I want to think about the blessings in disguise. Even your hardships. Even the snowstorms that you've been cast out in. As Paul's in prison, still discipling people, still praying for people, still writing letters to people. Blessing in disguise. Where are your blessings in disguises? Where are you working? Who are your family members? Who is it that would call you if he was stranded in a snowstorm? Things to think about this next year. Who is it you're influencing? Who is it you're pointing to Jesus? Who is it you're trying to help make the Word of God fully known to? Who is it that you're trying to proclaim Jesus to and with all wisdom to teach and to warn them? Let's go back to the text. Verse 20, he says, we want to present everyone mature in Christ. Verse 29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. I'm sure Paul is tired. I'm sure he has his rough days. Matter of fact, this guy that was reaching out, at times he felt like giving up. He felt, at times, he says in the article, he felt like it was just no use almost. You're going to have those days. But Paul says, I labored. That's the word we get from like the athletic events of the Roman Olympics. He said, I strived. And I labored to present everyone mature in Christ. He says, I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And he goes on to say, he says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, not just Colossae, but Laodicea, and also for all who have not seen me face to face. There's three areas: Hierapolis, Laodicea, and Colossae. They're all about 12 miles apart. This letter was sent back by Paul through Epaphras, and they were to take it around to these three churches and these three communities to encourage them. And this was their goal. He says that their hearts may be encouraged, verse 2 of chapter 2, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery. Now here's the mystery. The mystery was that Christ indwells both Jews and Gentiles who believe the gospel. The indwelling Christ lives his own life through believers. That's amazing, isn't it? That's why I love seeing what the Lord's doing in Sean and Brittany and in your life too and in my life. Is the mystery was that Christ living in you is the hope of glory. But Christ living in you is a powerful display of the gospel's transformation of dead hearts. The indwelling Christ lives his own life through believers, and this produces a radical change in their character and behavior. The initial experience of transformation stirs hope for final and complete transformation in which the glory of God is restored to believers. Now, we know that humanity and God's glory was marred and ruined because of sin, but Paul preached and taught that both Jews and Gentiles would have God's glory and image restored to them. And you see this throughout the text, and that's what he's trying to help these churches understand, which is Christ. The mystery, he wants them to be their hearts to be knit together in love, to reach the riches of full assurance of understanding and knowledge of God's mystery. Guys, we devalue understanding and knowledge sometimes, but your worship and your transformation and your sanctification is geared on your understanding of God's Word. So that's why I want to encourage you to pick up one of these, read through the Bible in a year sheets, and begin to hide God's Word in your heart. Let God transform you. Let Him change you. Let Him allow you to live in the hope you have as He lives in and through you. These treasures in jars of clay, this hope of glory, initially at our salvation, but it's almost like a deposit with the Holy Spirit is a deposit, which is, as we keep our eyes on Christ, it is a guarantee for His second coming and our rule and reign with Him in the new heavens and the new earth. Let's wrap it up. Let's move toward the back here. Which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We'll conclude by saying this. When people need help, don't take them to a psychiatrist. When people need help, don't tell them about a church. When your friends need help, don't just give them food and water. When your friends need help, don't just try to encourage them and help them feel okay. You know, heard Adrian Rogers recently talk about Lazarus and the raising of Lazarus. And he had four E's. I can't think of them all. But he gave the picture of a casket. And he said, this man is dead. Society's going to say that encouragement will help this dead person. So we look at that casket and we say, come on, man, you're all going to be okay. You're fine. We love you. People around here love you. And it's all right. Is that encouragement going to help that dead person? We say education will help people, right? And education's a good thing. But you're looking at a casket. All right? Environment. Environment will help somebody. If we put this casket in the right people, maybe around the right area, right people, and we maybe, is that going to make them okay? Wish I could think of all the needs. Education, environment. What was the other one I said? Environment, what was it? Encouragement, education, environment. And it was one other thing, but Adrian Rogers is skilled at using the language to and break it. Vaughn's gonna pull it up. He's going to find it on Google over there. but do y'all see what I'm saying here? How many times, and I hear about churches all the time, man, you got to come to my church. You got to be at this program. You got to experience what we experience. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the one who wants to save their soul. Tell them about the one who died in their place. Tell them about the one who can fulfill their desires. Tell them about the one that can provide hope in the midst of their great trials. Don't give them encouragement. It's going to be okay. You're not helping them there. Don't give them, put them in a certain environment. You can dress up a pig and put him in a Sunday school classroom, but eventually he's going to go out and he's going to find a pig pen, right? I think y'all see the object lessons I'm trying to say here. There's only one thing that's going to bring salvation and sanctification and a new birth to a dead heart, and it's Jesus. How many programs, how many 12-step programs have we been in? How many places and people and have we been around, but Nothing could help us except Jesus. Give them Jesus. Cry out to Jesus, as Vaughn just sang. Cry out to Jesus. I love the hymn Brother Ken picked out for us. Yet not I, but Christ in me. I want to take a few minutes, and as we close in prayer, the altars are going to be open. It's kind of a new start, a new beginning of 2023. If you want to come and pray, if you want me to pray for you, I'd love to. If you want to just join with your families and spend time in prayer, I want us to take a few minutes as Brother Ken comes up. Brother Ken, I toyed with the idea of bringing the choir up, but I don't know that we want to bring the choir up, but I do want to have an extensive time of just singing and praying together and just responding to the Lord, asking Him to bless this new year, asking Him to help us make the priority central to, through our relationships, make a difference, to point people to Jesus, to provide hope, to present disciples. Proclaim Christ, provide hope, present disciples. That's our goal. That's what we want to do. And I want to remind you of that every sermon this year. And I want you to remind me of that, because for me to help lead you in it, I've got to do a better job. I've got to be more faithful about sharing the gospel and using my influence and leveraging my influence to point people to Jesus. And I want you to do that. Where is your scope of influence? Where is your blessing in disguise? It may be things you're struggling with. It may be a bad job you're going through. But God's got you in that bad job. God's got you in that trial. God's got you in that good area. Use your blessings and disguises as true blessings to influence others and point them to Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we're just reminded once again of that salvation is only by faith in Christ alone. Lord, and it's by trusting in His finished work that we find joy and fulfillment. God, we live with life with purpose. God, there's no amount of education. There's no amount of no certain environment. There's no amount of encouragement. It's going to make us okay if our hearts are dead, God. And it just may be that there's some dead hearts and out in this congregation, God. I pray that they would turn to you, Father, and find hope and forgiveness and true life. God, there's others out here that I would identify with and be guilty of being, that very content with where I am, drinking my coffee beside the fire, ready to open my gifts, God, when there's people stranded without hope and in grave danger all around me, Father. I pray that you would nudge us, convict us, help us to see the weightiness of the mission around us to take the good news to those who are dying and going to face hell and judgment. God, if they don't hear and respond to the good news of Jesus. God, may we be people of faith and people on a mission to share Christ with those around us. Continue to put that on our hearts and draw people to you and use us as blessings, as instruments. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the hope we have in Christ, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.